Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. A blessed Christmas Eve to all our listeners. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Tonight, we're going to study a Christmas hymn, Once in Royal David's City. You know, Christmas carols, Christmas hymns often suffer in the mind of Christians, especially, from familiarity. We sing through them. They tug at the heartstrings. Perhaps they make us feel nostalgic for Christmas's past. But there are depths to some of these songs that are unmined, often even through the whole Christmas season. This hymn is no exception. Once in Royal David's City is the subject of our hymn study tonight on Issues Etc. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Now, you can study this Christmas hymn along with us. All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, look under the What's New section, and you'll find the words to Once in Royal David's City, issuesetc.org. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. He's professor of New Testament, dean of the chapel, and director of deaconess studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the Luke Commentary and the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series and the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke. Dr. Just, welcome back.
Merry Christmas, Todd, and Merry Christmas to all our listeners.
And to you as well. This hymn's title alone kind of tosses us back into the Old Testament for a bit of history. David's City, what's that all about?
Well, it takes us to Bethlehem, which is where the Old Testament prophesied that the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ, was to be born. And Luke chapter 2 certainly highlights this, the famous Christmas story of St. Luke's Gospel that is perhaps one of the most sublime pieces of literature ever.
What is the general theme of this hymn, Once in Royal David's City?
Well, the author, Cecil Alexander, she wrote this as a commentary on the second article of the Creed. She wrote it for children, and it first appeared in a Hymns for Children in the 19th century. And it really is a wonderfully simple yet profound statement about the character of the Messiah, Jesus, in his humility and his poverty, as it is reflected in his birth, and as is reflected in God's choosing the way he chose to bring about the coming of the Messiah into our world.
So what should we be listening for? You mentioned it's both a Christmas and a creedal hymn. What should we be listening for in these stanzas?
Well, there are a number of things. I mean, the imagery in this hymn is wonderful. And what we should look for is really the character of the Christmas story in its poverty and humility. You're going to see that as a very profound theme, and yet always juxtaposed to the kind of the royalty and the dignity and how God works in such a different way than we would expect. You'll also look then, therefore, for really a statement about the person of Christ, you know, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Ghost, that this is really what this is a commentary on. And thirdly, she wrote this hymn in a time when infant mortality was very high. And it is a hymn to address that and the grief that many parents were experiencing, and also for children to see that in the infant Jesus, they see themselves, that he is a pattern for their own lives and an encouragement for them, you know, as they make their way through life, that their Lord went through exactly what they did. In a strange way, it's a children's hymn. Now, of course, it received its notoriety by becoming the processional hymn at the Christmas lessons and carols at King's College in Cambridge. And this tune that we're going to be hearing when it was wedded to this text made this one of the great Christmas hymns, and it just soared in the imaginations of the English in the 19th century. So it has a dignity and a royalty to it, but it is a simple text, and all children should very much resonate to the words of this hymn.
Here is stanza one of Once in Royal David's City. Once in Royal David City stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, Jesus Christ, her little child.
Once in
Dr. Just, it almost has a once-upon-a-time quality to it.
It does. Yeah, that's actually a nice way of putting it, Todd. It really does. And, you know, when you hear that, those first lines, I mean, Royal David's City. I mean, and of course, if you know Bethlehem at the time of our Lord, everybody knew that this was going to be where the Messiah was to be born, but it was not the kind of, I mean, it wasn't Jerusalem, it wasn't Rome, it was a simple city, and yet this is where the King of Kings was to be born. And then juxtaposed to that image of Royal David City, there's a lonely cattle shed. And the simple imagery, and here I think she captures Luke's gospel so beautifully. A mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. I mean, we hear often about the humility of the birth of Jesus, that there was no place to lay him except in a manger. And this mother is mild. Jesus is her little child. It paints that this kind of almost beatific vision of what Jesus' birth was to be like. And yet it also accents the incredible poverty of the scene, and that the King comes in such simplicity, in such just kind of raw, genuine humanity. And it should alert us to the fact that the entire story of Jesus now, that we will hear in the gospel and the Christmas story and the entire church year, is going to be unlike any story we have ever heard before.
It's very human in the way it treats the story. Mother, child. Oh, by the way, it's Mary and Jesus that we're talking about. That's picked up in the second stanza that we will hear on the other side of this break. What should we be listening for in stanza two of Once in Royal David City?
Well, here she speaks theologically, and I think what we sometimes forget is that when Jesus is born, there is almost like a divine invasion, and this coming down from heaven is such an important image in the scriptures and in hymnody, and it should be in our preaching. And he is God and Lord of all. And yet here, God and Lord of all, coming from heaven, his shelter was a stable, his cradle was a stall. Again, the juxtaposition of this, the majesty of what actually this child is, and yet the humility of the context in which that child is born.
He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all, and his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a stall. With the poor and mean and low lived our Savior long ago. That's the second stanza of Once in Royal David City. When we come back from this break, we're going to hear it, and we'll hear what Dr. Arthur Just has to say about this great Christmas hymn. Dr. Just is professor of New Testament, dean of the chapel, and director of deaconess studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the Luke Commentary and the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series, and the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke. It reminds me of a passage. I think it's Paul who writes that though he was rich for our sakes, he became poor so that through his poverty, we might become rich. It is through the poverty of this man, Jesus, our God and Savior, born of a woman, that we are made rich. Not through his wealth, not through his prestige or his power, but through his poverty, through his life of obedience to God, through his suffering and his death. You see, already in the poverty of Christ's birth, the foreshadowing of how we might become rich. We'll talk about that after this.
This popular Christmas hymn is the theme of our Issues Etc. book of the month for December. It's titled, From Heaven Above. It's a picture book for children ages 6 through 9. You can find out more about From Heaven Above on our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. From Heaven Above costs $14.99 plus shipping and handling. Issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040. This children's book uses the text of traditional hymns and classical style illustrations to depict the events of that first Christmas night. From Heaven Above, A Christmas Carol by Martin Luther. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for December. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. This Christmas, teach your young child or grandchild about the fulfillment of God's promise to send his people a Savior from heaven above.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And our new level, the patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card, our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the presence of God with Dr. Norman Nagel of Concordia Seminary. Is the fact that God is omnipresent, everywhere, all the time, necessarily good news? How was God present for his people in the Old Testament? How is he present for us today? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. with Dr. Norman Nagel. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing in 2007, visit our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there at our homepage, be sure to check out the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, From Heaven Above. If you're celebrating Christmas a little late this year and you're looking for a gift for a young child, a grandchild, a godchild, give them this picture book based on Martin Luther's Christmas hymn, From Heaven Above. You can find out more about From Heaven Above at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can also call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, From Heaven Above. Well, here's that second stanza of the hymn we're studying this hour with Dr. Arthur Just, Once in Royal David City.
Thank you.
Dr. Just, your thoughts on this second stanza?
The end of the stanza really places us in the context of the world in which the Savior is born. And, you know, Christmas, we sometimes forget that the simplicity of Christmas is at the heart of this season, and that the Incarnation is such a simple remedy for the world's virus of sin, that our Savior must join us in our poor, mean, and lowly estate. And as some of the hymns, and it's a little different from the one we heard, and I'm going to say it because I like it, lived on earth our Savior holy, that in the context of this world of sin, the Holy One of God came down from heaven. I think that Christmas has to be seen as this extraordinary intervention by God, by bringing His holiness into our unholiness, and by doing so, making all things new and making them all holy. This is the very nature of the Incarnation itself, that the one who is holy and perfect without sin must enter our poverty, our meanness, in a stall where His cradle is, shelter is His stable. That is just an extraordinary reversal of any kind of human expectation for how God, you know, addresses our redemption. And so I think in many ways this is the most theologically loaded verse of the hymn, and everything is that now going to spin out of this verse. And she sets it up with the first verse by giving us the child and the mother. But this is her comment on the second article of the Apostles' Creed, and it's brilliant.
In the third stanza, there is an extension of how it is that this Savior lived. What should we be listening for in stanza three?
Well, this is the stanza that addresses the children and this childhood's pattern, and that he grew like us. I mean, this is the most, he experienced everything that we did, even the humility of childhood, and especially, of course, in his day and age, in the first century, and this would have been in many ways true of the 19th century too. You know, children were little, weak, helpless, and the fact that he had tears and smiles like us. I mean, the identity of the Christ child with children today is what, in many ways, brings the magic of Christmas. And we could certainly romanticize that, but she doesn't let us, because, you know, he feels all our sadness. And in that word sadness, you know, I mean, especially in the context in which this hymn was written, is the suffering of all those parents who have lost children, the sadness of death, the sadness of tragedy, but also that he shares our gladness. And the gladness is the very, you know, the joy of Christmas is the fact that he has come, and he continues to be here. We're gonna get to that later, but he continues to be here to give us joy. Christmas is a humble, simple season, but more than anything else, it is the season of joy.
And through all his wondrous childhood, day by day, like us he grew. He was little, weak, and helpless. Tears and smiles like us he knew, and he feeleth for our sadness, and he shareth in our gladness.
Thank you.
Dr. Just, coming off of that stanza with the minutes left to us in this segment, there is a tendency, even among Christians, to take the story of Christ's incarnation and make it merely about identification. He identifies with us. And to forget that this incarnation is ultimately not only about identification, but also about substitution. He is not only like us in all of these things, he is for us in all of these things, in our place. Talk about that with about a minute here before our break.
Well, the great theme of Christmas is that this child is born to die. And everything in this season leads us to that. We begin in Advent 1 with his journey to Jerusalem, Palm Sunday, the first day of Holy Week. This child's destiny is Jerusalem and the cross. And that's the thing that certainly the church year and the hymnody that is associated with Advent and Christmas moves us towards. And so, yes, he has come, but we know where he's going. And right there you have the entire theme of every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We're studying the Christmas hymn tonight, this Christmas Eve, on Issues Etc. Once in Royal David City. When we come back, we're going to be listening to the last two stanzas of Once in Royal David City. And before the end of our conversation, we'll hear the entire hymn. Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament, dean of the chapel, and director of deaconess studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. He has authored the Luke Commentary and the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series, and the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke. All these things that we see beginning in the incarnation of Christ and his birth are brought to fruition, as every gospel says, Dr. Just is right, as every gospel says, brought to fruition in Christ for us in his suffering, death, and his resurrection. That is the true theme of Christmas. You know, Christians often say Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, there's more to it than just Jesus being the reason for the season. It is who Jesus is for us in his life, death, and resurrection. That's the reason for the season. We'll be right back. Christianity in a Pagan World, Lessons from Ancient Israel and Early Christianity, and Confessional Lutheranism in the Ecumenical World are the themes for the annual symposia at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. This year's symposia begin January 16th and end on January 19th. Now for a complete list of speakers, symposia schedule, or to register online, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call 260-452-2241, 260-452-2241. The fellowship alone is worth the registration fee, and you can experience the Christ-centered, cross-focused worship life at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. It's the 2006 Symposia Series, January 16th through the 19th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. For more information, issuesetc.org or call 260-452-2241.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The new I Have Issues t-shirts are available, and there's only one way to get one, by joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual donor program. You'll find the statement, I Have Issues, on the front of the shirt, and on the back, the Issues Etc. logo, our website address, and the slogan, Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian. Now, anyone who joins the Issues Etc. Reformation Club between now and the end of 2006 will receive the I Have Issues t-shirt, plus other membership benefits like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. Now, for more information on the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us reach our goal of 300 Reformation Club members by the end of the year. We'll also send an Issues Etc. t-shirt, travel mug, and pen to current Reformation Club members who upgrade their membership. It's the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head-on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why you should consider attending their annual symposia, January the 16th through the 19th.
Well, if you like this show and you're listening now, then the symposia at the seminary are definitely for you, because this is a time for 3 or 4 days to get together with fellow Christians who are interested in theology, talking about the things of God, and wonderful time for socialization, to be with others who care about God, and to talk about these things, and a wonderful time to be in worship, and to go further into the kinds of issues that you talk about so well on your radio program.
The theme for this year's symposia at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Christian Identity in a Pagan World, Issues, etc., will be broadcasting live. For more information, call Concordia Theological Seminary, 260-452-2241, or go to our website, issuesetc.org. We're studying the Christmas hymn, Once in Royal David City. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest, professor of New Testament, dean of the chapel, and director of deaconess studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Just, coming up next month, Concordia Theological Seminary there in Fort Wayne is going to be holding its annual symposia, the theme there, Christian Identity in a Pagan World. Describe for our listeners the whole symposia experience, if you will.
Well, you know, years ago when we planned this, everybody said, you got to be out of your mind. Why would you want to go to Fort Wayne, Indiana in January? But you know what? It's become one of the most significant events in the life of our seminary, and for many people in our church, one of the most wonderful opportunities to come together, to hear some great theology, to worship in a chapel that is just, you know, comes right off its moorings with the singing of the Epiphany hymns that we sing during this time of year, and really the great liturgy and preaching that we experience every day in Kramer Chapel. And then just the kind of the fellowship and the camaraderie. It's a reunion time for people. It's a time, you know, to network. It's a time just to kind of rejoice in our common confession and our common faith. And it's a highlight for us, and we are just delighted to show hospitality to our church in this way, and we're looking forward to it again this year. We got a great topic, and I'm looking forward to the whole week.
Well, Issues, etc. is going to be there broadcasting live from the symposia, January the 16th through the 19th on the campus of Concordia Seminary there in Fort Wayne. We hope you will join us. For more information on the symposia speakers, topics, worship services, just go to our website, issuesetc.org. You can also call Concordia Theological Seminary, area code 260-452-2241, 260-452-2241. You ask for information on the symposia. It's January the 16th through the 19th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. The number one more time, area code 260-452-2241. Dr. Just, I cannot help, as we walk through this hymn, cannot help but think of the Hebrews passage, where the writer there talks about having a high priest who can sympathize with us because he has been tempted in every way as we are and yet without sin.
Right. That's exactly right, Todd. And in fact, at the bottom of your hymnal, if you have the Lutheran service book, that very passage is cited as being a source of this hymn. No, that's exactly right. And that's why this is, I mean, just imagine starting your Christmas Eve celebration of the Incarnation with this hymn. It is a sublime way to begin, because it's the narrative, and yet it's got this incredible theological substance in which we can see how our Lord stands there in substitution with us and in solidarity with us.
Here is stanza 4. But our eyes in truth should see him through his own redeeming love, for that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above. As he leads his children on, to the place where he is gone. Dr. Jess, there's a gentle admonition in this stanza of how we ought to view, you know, we see these nativity scenes all over the place, the baby in the manger, how we ought to look at this through his redeeming love. What does that mean?
Well, you know, this is where, in a gentle way, but, I mean, certainly he who has ears to hear will hear this. Here's where she takes us to the cross. I mean, the redemption, the word redemption is to buy back, and we were bought back with the price of his love on the cross, spending out his love in his suffering and dying for us. And it is a wonderful glimpse of eternity, the eternity we have with him, but that eternity that we have that comes through that cross. And the fact is, you know, if you look at the way the hymn is, that that child so dear and gentle, his redeeming love, the Lord in heaven above. I mean, she takes us from the incarnation through the cross to the exaltation, to his enthronement in heaven. And he's the one who leads us. I mean, that idea that he is our pattern. He is the one in his wondrous, you know, childhood, shows us the way, and here you have that journey to Jerusalem and beyond, and remember that heaven is thought of as the New Jerusalem, and we who are sacramental Christians know that the New Jerusalem is now wherever we gather around His Word and Sacrament. So I mean, the very liturgy in which we are singing this hymn, in which we feast upon Him in His Word and feast upon Him in His Sacrament, is in fact the way in which He takes us into the heavenly places. If you have, you know, an organist worth their salt, the hymn is really beginning now to expand, and the singing just explodes, you know. And of course, the last verse is where it just takes off with the descant of the choir. But this is where we now move towards the final goal of the incarnation, where through the cross we are enthroned in heaven in Christ, the crucified and risen one.
Before we go to that last stanza, just so it's absolutely clear to our listeners, how is it particularly that this Christ child, crucified and risen, leads us today to that place where he has gone?
He leads us by giving us himself, by communing with us, by his word, where we hear his word. And we are brought in union with him. We are joined to him. He communes with us by giving us his body and blood. If you think of this as a journey, as we journey in our own lives from infancy, like he was, until our death, along the way he feeds us, and he feeds us miraculous food. He feeds us by speaking his words of love to us from his Holy Scripture. And he feeds us with the very flesh that he gave up on the cross for us. So what he does is he joins us to himself, to his suffering, to his death, to his resurrection, so that we journey in him and he in us. And you know, we speak of the ascension where he goes to heaven, is that we're in him in heaven already now, that we are enthroned in him. So we are already now in heaven because heaven has come to us in the incarnation and in the sacramental life of the church.
Here is stanza 5. Not in that poor, lowly stable with the oxen standing by shall we see him, but in heaven, set at God's right hand on high, then like stars his children crowned, all in white his praise will sound. Okay, you've only got 30 seconds before we go to this break. Here, it strikes me in this that as the hymn ends, it is the child in the manger, the child from heaven, spoken to the children, including you and me. Talk about that.
Well, this hymn shows us that all theology is doxology. Namely, that the whole point of the incarnation and the point of Christmas is to sing praises to the one who is enthroned at God's right hand, and as I said before, we with him, and we are his children. And this counters the romantic view of Christmas and shows that in fact it is a season of praise.
We'll talk more about that on the other side of this break. Folks, we have spent the last year and more telling you about the great relief work being done throughout the world by Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief, whether it be the AIDS crisis in Africa, the strife in the Sudan, the Gulf Coast victims of hurricanes. LCMS World Relief is on the front lines providing both bread and the bread of life to victims of natural or man-made tragedies. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to LCMS World Relief. Their toll-free number, 1-888-930-4438. 1-888-930-4438. You can also donate online. Just look for the LCMS World Relief logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. It's an international relief agency concerned with both body and soul. Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief. When we come back, 10 minutes left in our conversation as we study the Christmas hymn, Once in Royal David City, with Dr. Arthur Jest. We're going to have some final thoughts on the hymn, and then we're going to hear the entire hymn, all 5 stanzas. Dr. Arthur Jest is Professor of New Testament, Dean of the Chapel, and Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We give thanks for the folks at LCMS World Relief, because they are the hands and the feet that allow many people to reach out in charity and love to those who are less fortunate than we.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Arthur Jest on the importance of LCMS World Relief.
In the Gospels, Jesus says that he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And spending out his life for us on the cross is how he served us. Because Christ is in us, and we embody him in his mercy and love, we are to manifest that in our lives, and LCMS World Relief does exactly that by reaching out with concrete expressions of Christ's love, mercy, and compassion to those who have been broken by storm and tempest, who, for whatever reason, need the kind of love and compassion that is in us because Christ is in us.
For more information or to donate to LCMS World Relief, call them toll-free 1-888-930-4438.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Noted author and Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on why you should support Issues, Etc.
Even though I live in Southern California and we've got several stations totally dedicated to what they call Christian programming, I make it a habit not to listen regularly to Christian radio. I turned on one of my local stations the other day and heard about an exorcist casting multiple demons out of a good Christian. listened a little while ago and heard a whole panel of people on another Christian station talking about how the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem was going to usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ. You know, I just can't handle all that kind of stuff. But you know what I really like? The Christian programming that I like to listen to is Issues Etc. No matter where I am in the country, if Issues Etc. is on the program, I'm going to be listening. And the reason I like it is because we have solid, down-to-earth, biblical preaching and teaching, defending the faith from God's word instead of men's speculation. I know of no better ministry to support today than Issues Etc.
Thanks to Troy in Arnold, Missouri, Tom and Dana in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Joshua in Hawaii for recently joining our monthly or annual donor program called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Now, there are all kinds of benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron. Premiums like tapes and books and transcripts every month. For more information on the Reformation Club, just go to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Click on it, and you'll get all the information you need. issuesetc.org. You can also join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card. We have a resource line number. It's 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. You can join by check. Just write us at Issues Etc. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate online at our website, issuesetc.org. Now, everyone who joins or renews their membership in the Reformation Club before the end of the year will receive the new I Have Issues t-shirt. Please prayerfully consider partnering with us by joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club this week. We're talking about this hymn, Once in Royal David City, and Dr. Arthur Just is our guest for the next 10 minutes. Dr. Just, I'm intrigued by the final line, if you would explain, from this last stanza, speaking of the children like stars crowned. It says, all in white his praise will sound. Clothed in white, where does this come from? What does it mean?
Well, this image, of course, is from Revelation, where, you know, our robes washed in the blood of the Lamb are white with his holiness and his purity. And I think that you see here the fact that we do go from the kind of the incarnation right to the end, where we will have full communion with Christ in heaven. And I think that is such a wonderful way to end this hymn. Now, I do think that language of stars, you know, as children, is a pointed reference in her context to those children who have been lost, and that they are, you know, with the angels like stars in heaven, the little ones. This is, I think, a wonderfully comforting thing. But we always understand children as being larger than just little children. We are all God's children, and we must come to him in the kind of humility and trust of a little child. I mean, those are, you know, certainly the some of the most beloved words of Jesus, that we do come in that way. And I said before the break, you know, Christmas we can romanticize the manger and the stable and all that. You know, and I love the way she says it, with the oxen standing by. But we can't go there. I mean, it's not like a time trip back there where we can all kind of stand there at the manger and gaze at the child. We shall see him again, but it'll be in his glory. And I think we need to add, and I think this is implied here, that we see him even now. We see him in our worship life, where he comes to us in the means of grace, and we see him in each other, because he is in us and we are in him. And if you want to see what Christ is like in the world today, you see it in those who bear him in their bodies. And most importantly of all, you see it in the suffering. You see Christ there in them, suffering in them, suffering with them. Season is a difficult time. Christmas is a difficult season for many people, a time of great sadness. And I think they need to remember that Jesus is with them in this season, that he is suffering along with them in their loneliness, in their grief, and that he is with them in all their ways and has been from the beginning. That's the point of this hymn, that he travels with us throughout our days.
Let's hear the entire hymn written by Cecil Francis Alexander, Once in Royal David City.
Once in royal
Christmas hymn, Once in Royal David City. Dr. Arthur Justice, Professor of New Testament, Dean of the Chapel, Director of Deacon Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the Luke Commentary and the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series, and the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke. Dr. Just, a blessed Christmas to you and to yours. And thank you very much for being our guest tonight on Issues, Etc.
It was my pleasure, Todd. A blessed Christmas to all of you.
Folks, here's our mailing address. It's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Here's our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. Now, you can use either of those to receive a free complimentary copy of our Next Issues, Etc. journal, or to join our monthly or annual donor program called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. You can help us reach our goal of 300 Reformation Club members by the end of the year, and we'll send you the new I Have Issues t-shirt as a way of saying thank you. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. Something Dr. Jess said kind of sparked my curiosity. We can't go back. As much as we would like to, in our nostalgia and romance, go back to the stable and gaze into the manger and look upon the Christ child, we can't. That has happened, and that is done. We don't have to go back. This Christ child went forward from the stable in the manger to live a life in our place of perfect, holy obedience to God, and to, in obedience to God, lay down his life in our place at the cross and rise again. He comes forward to us. That is the great joy of Christmas. I'm Todd Wilkin. Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen each week to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues, Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Noted author and English professor Dr. Gene Edward Veith on why he joined the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
In my spiritual journey, I've been a mainline Protestant liberal. I flirted with Eastern mysticism. I've been involved with American evangelicalism, but it was through the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that I discovered what the grace of God really means, what Jesus really accomplished for me on the cross, and how in his word and sacraments Jesus really comes into my life. And a lot of people are looking for the right church, one that has the theological substance and the depth that sometimes hard to find in American Christianity. Some of them are looking in all different kinds of directions, and they're really looking for is Lutheranism.
If you want to learn more about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, call our Issues, Etc. resource line at 1-800-737-0172 and ask to receive a free pamphlet called What About the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? 1-800-737-0172.